Well, my name is Pastor Guy. Again, I'm excited that you're here. If I haven't met you, I would love to meet you. If you don't have a Bible, we have lots of Bibles up there in the Toll Crib, which is our hybrid library slash bookstore by donation. So if you take it, keep it. It's free. It's our gift to you. Got a few different translations up there. We just kind of want to put the Word of God in your hand because we believe that's where life is found. So we here at One Life Church, that's the one thing that we want to always preach and teach. We exist to make and guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This is what we do, nothing more, nothing less. And one of the great ways that we can do that is to put the Word of God in your hand physically so that you can read it, you can study it, and then together we worship through song and we worship through teaching as we break open the Word of God, and we worship through giving and generosity and just together doing the service that God has called us to. So thank you again for all of that, but please, if you don't have a Bible or if you just need a new version, just grab one on your way out. But we're in this series called Greater, and this series is really the whole heart behind this series is that Jesus is calling us to do greater things than he did. In John 14, 12, calling us to do greater things than even he did. Calling us to do greater things than what we think we can do, calling us to do greater things than we can do without God living in us. And yet still so often we get Christ in us, we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, we start serving God, but we just do enough and we live this kind of mediocre, good enough kind of life. And summertime is a great time to talk about this, because let's be real, what happens in the summer? The teachers take off the summer. Things kind of slow down. A lot of people go on vacation. Maybe your work kind of pulls back. Church life really pulls back, because summertime is when a lot of churches, and really, I'll be honest, it's kind of we're doing this, where it's kind of like any of the Bible studies, sometimes Sunday school shuts down at certain churches. It's like we take these 3 months and we just kind of pause everything. It's like the whole world goes on vacation for 3 months. And then in September, we're like, all right, we're going to gear back up. And September's like kind of the New Year's Day of the fall. It's like we cycle with the school year, but we kind of sit down. It's like summer's this time where I just want to sit in my lawn chair in the backyard, soak in some rays, down some hot dogs and s'mores around the fire, and I just want to be me. And that's all good. That's all fine. We need rest, right? I do those things. But what if there's something greater for you? What if that mentality just becomes a little bit too much good enough? A little bit too much mediocrity? A little bit too much, I'm just going to coast through my life, coast in my faith, coast in my spirituality, coast in my relationship with God. I've heard of churches that refuse to take the summer off because they're like, now you don't take a break from your faith, so why would we take a break from the things we offer at church? But so much of our life is, all right, let's rest. Let's put the brakes on. But this July, I want to challenge you to do what you already know that you need to do, to be greater, to dream bigger. And last week, we talked about burning our plows, the story of Elisha. So it's what is it from your previous life, what is it from your life before Christ that you're still dragging along with you? If God calls you to something, and I believe that each and every one of us, you may not know what it is, it may not be something that's going to be on this platform or another church's platform or on the nightly news. Maybe you're not going to be like Billy Graham, and when you pass away, the whole United States is going to have a public reception. Maybe it's not that great in worldly standards, but if it's what you're called to do by God, living the life you're called to do is the greater thing you're called to do. And I don't know about you, but I would far rather have heaven cheering me on than America, right? Would you rather have the angels in heaven going crazy about you living out the call that God has preordained for you? Would you rather have heaven going crazy or Heinz Field or Beaver Stadium filled with people cheering you on. Those are just accolades, short-lived accolades from other men and women. We want to see God seeing us live out what we're called to do as we burn our plows, leave our old life behind, the things that are dragging you down. And when I talk about greater life, my definition for you for greater, to move from good enough to not to greatness, because good enough is mediocre. Good enough is kind of spiritual survival mode. Kind of, I'm just getting by. It's complacency. I'm good, but I'm just baseline living. And then greatness is kind of this big, unrealistic, vague look at what I want to be. It's like, yeah, I want to be that, but there's no plan. It's kind of like setting a goal, but not having strategic steps to get there. You ever said to be like, I want to lose weight this year? And you're like, well, now what's that going to look like? Let's put some action steps behind that. So when I say greater, my definition for you for greater is the life-altering understanding that God is ready to accomplish a greatness in your life that is entirely out of human reach, beyond anything that you see in yourself, even on your best day, but exactly what God has seen in you all along. It's being everything God has called you to be. It's chasing after God and saying, I want the dream you have for me. Because God can give you and wants to give you so much more than you can ever ask or imagine. That's in the Bible. You should read it in there. It's some, you know. So are you willing to believe that God is big enough to call you to something greater, even if that something greater is nowhere on your radar, nowhere on your wish list, not something that you ever have thought of? Because I tell you that God initiates some of the biggest changes in our lives through small starts. God initiates some of the biggest changes through small starts. In other words, a big dream without a small start is really just kind of a daydream. There's no action steps behind it. There's no, here's how I'm going to get there behind that. So what I want to talk to you today to follow up this burn the plows and encourage us through Scripture to be greater is I want to talk to you about digging ditches in preparation for God's blessing. Digging ditches in preparation for God's blessings. Because we like to talk about our faith. In Scripture, faith isn't just about believing. Now, it's not about mere thinking. It's not about saying, I believe. But faith is really about action. And faith itself is action. James 2:26 says that faith without works is dead. It's not, I have faith in God. I have this state of mind. I feel real good. I know what I believe. But faith is work. Faith is kind of putting your feet on the ground. Living this greater life of faith with God means getting your hands dirty. It means getting some dirt underneath your fingernails. It means I'm going to show the world. I'm going to show God. I'm going to show my family. I'm going to show my job. I'm going to show my calling that I have faith by what I do. I have faith by what I live. Because you can tell me that you have faith, but unless I see it in your actions and I see it in your life, James hits this really hard in the book of James, then I don't know that you have faith unless I can see it. But it's about getting your hands dirty. And getting your hands dirty means digging some ditches in preparation for God's blessing and believing that he's going to hook you up, that he's got bigger things for you than you can imagine. You can't see it, you don't know it, but if God says dig the ditch and get to work, he's got something in store for you. Do you want to be prepared when the blessing comes? Now, nobody demonstrates this blue-collar kind of faith, getting your hands dirty approach to believing in God for greater things than the prophet Elisha. Elisha. So we're going to kind of continue on with Elisha's story. Now, the story of Elisha commanding the king of Israel to dig ditches in the deserts of Edom, it really illustrates preparedness for God's blessing in our lives. So I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. So you can follow along in your Bibles or follow along on the screen. I chose the Message version today. We usually do ESV, sometimes NLT, but I like to keep you guessing, and we're going to do the Message today. So here's what the Word of God says. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom started out on what proved to be a looping detour. After 7 days, they had run out of water for both army and animals. The king of Israel said, "Bad news. God has gotten us three kings out here to dump us into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat, if you grew up in church, you don't maybe know anything about Jehoshaphat, but you maybe know his name because he's got a cool name. So Jehoshaphat said, at least that's what my childhood was like, "Isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around through whom we can consult God?" One of the servants of the king of Israel said, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is around here somewhere. He's the one who was Elijah's right-hand man." He was the apprentice to the prophet Elijah. So Jehoshaphat said, "Good, a man we can trust." So the three of them, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom, went to meet him. Elisha addressed the king of Israel, "What do you and I have in common? Go consult the puppet prophets of your father and mother." "Never," said the king of Israel. "It's God who has gotten us into this fix, dumping all three of us kings into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As God of the angel armies lives, and before whom I stand ready to serve, if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't give you the time of day." Translation, I don't like the rest of you, but because I respect Jehoshaphat and I respect him because he's the king of Judah, I respect his title, I respect his position of authority. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be giving you the time of day. But considering that, all things considered, not to be snappy, but all things considered, bring me a minstrel, like a harpist kind of musician. Bring me a minstrel. And when a minstrel played, the power of God came on Elisha. And Elisha then said, "God's word, dig ditches all over this valley." And here's what happened. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill. This is easy for God to do. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country. You'll knock out its fortifications. You'll level the key villages. You'll clear-cut the orchards, clog the springs, and litter the cultivated fields with stones. And in the morning, that very next morning, it was at the hour of morning sacrifice, the water had arrived. Water pouring in from the west from Edom, a flash flood filling the valley with water. Amen. You're familiar with that story? You guys read that story before? Maybe did one of those one-year Bible things, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of those guys." Pretty awesome. So today I want to look at this passage and talk about digging ditches in preparation for God's blessing. So when you look at this story, you see so many different things happening, and you see these three kingdoms, these three armies kind of come together in a pinch. They come together in a bad situation. And how many of us know that a great need can be a good thing if it leads you to a deeper dependency on God? Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you kind of find yourself stuck in the pursuit of the greater life that you're called to? You kind of find yourself stuck where you think, have you been in that situation where you think, "Okay, God, why am I here? What do I need? How am I going to get through this moment? Life is hard. Life is piling up. Everything's getting tough. I don't know how to get out of this situation. I don't know how I got into this situation," but I'm kind of thinking, these guys are kind of saying, "Well, God got us in this fix," and I'm kind of thinking, "Well, maybe I got myself in this fix, but yet maybe God kind of allowed me to get into this fix so that it will lead me to a greater dependency on him. When you get to the end of your rope, when the time comes in your life where everything that you thought you could do doesn't happen, everything you thought you could be, all of the victories that you thought you could have aren't happening, everything you thought you can control, you're no longer controlling. But yet there's greater things that you're called to. And to get there, we need dependency on God. We need to depend on God to lead us through. Are you dependent on God? Because I know a lot of us, we're Americans, right? So most of us are fairly driven, or at least that's what they tell us, right? That's what they tell us. Americans are driven. You don't own anything that wasn't invented by an American, right? I mean, we run the world, right? So we're driven people. I mean, that's what they tell us. So the problem lies in not knowing how to dream big. We're dreamers. We're builders. We're creators. We're creative. We're problem solvers. We're fixers. But the problem starts sometimes in not knowing how to start small. And not knowing how to just say, all right, I know where I want to be, and I'm pretty sure I know where God wants me to be. But how do I get there? What's it going to take for me to become what I'm called to be? Because God doesn't want me just to use him to meet my needs. He wants to use my needs to bring me to him. He wants to put us, allow us to see in the situation, say, all right, I'm in the middle of this desert. I don't know what to do. Three armies, three kings, surrounded. We have no way out. What's the solution? What's the solution? What's that look like for you in your life? You ever been in a position, been in a situation? See, when the king of Israel came to Elijah, his needs were prompting him to look for a solution. Because sometimes when life is great, when life is awesome, when everything's hitting on all cylinders and you just, I can't do anything wrong. Everything I touch turns to gold. Sometimes it's hard to look at that life and look at what you're doing and say, God, I need you. Because those are the times when we're supposed to say, Lord, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for making this what it is. Thank you for leading me here. Thank you for hooking me up with this. Thank you for taking care of me. But it was the need, it was the hurt, it was the desperation that led all of these kings, including Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to say, we need somebody. Even though he had forgotten pretty well, if you read the text, he's pretty well like, there's got to be somebody around here still that listens to God. There's got to be some prophet of God somewhere around here. There's got to be somebody that can help us find a way out because I'm in a need. I'm in a point of desperation. It was his need that prompted him to seek out Elisha, and Elisha pointed him towards God, who was ultimately their only solution. Ultimately, this is all you need. Ultimately, how many of us are like that in our life? Where it's like, even church people, we pray as a last resort, right? We got dreams, we got goals, we know what we want to have happen. But it's like, well, I've exhausted all my options. All right, God, I need you. And yet all along, he's just kind of been watching you and walking with you, continuing to bless you with life, continuing to bless you with breath. See that breath you just took? Yeah, gift from God. You ever believe God is patient with you? Oh, he did it again. See, he loves us, but he wants us to come to him. He's walking with us. He wants us to turn and say, all right, I burnt the plows. I'm fully surrendering to you. Now, what's the greater plan that you're calling me to? What do I need to get through this? But you know what we like to do? And I think Jehoshaphat was kind of looking at this way. He's like, you know what? God isn't your shortcut to just get what you need. God's not really, all right, so I'm going to be the president of my company someday. Or I'm going to get this. I'm going to be this person. I'm going to do this. We don't say, all right, well, here we go, God. Get me there. See, God's not your shortcut, and he doesn't want to be used like a shortcut. God is your only solution. And it is in those hours of need where we realize, and sometimes again in our American lifestyle, where if you live in America, you're pretty well among the wealthiest people in the world. But we live in this way where we don't need God sometimes, or we don't think we need God because there's a Walmart on the hill. Right? I mean, if my kids need milk and I don't have milk, I go to Walmart and they have milk. And if I get to Walmart and they say, well, that's going to be $3.84 and I don't have cash, do I talk to God about that? Do I pray to God about that? Do I say, Lord, help me to find the work to generate the funds to buy this milk? No. I got some friends over in Delaware that run a company called Visa, right? That's all I need. Why would I need God whenever I live in America and I got everything at my fingertips? This is the life that we live, is it not? Am I wrong on this? That we so often we think, as a last resort, we're like, okay, maybe I am dependent on God. But at the end of the day, we need to know that God is our only solution. That if you're using God just to get greater things, I'm telling you, that's not faith. That's idolatry. That's not faith. That's just using God. Say, I need just enough God to get me through the week. I need just enough God to get me into heaven. I just need a little bit of grace because I know I got no chance. I need all grace because I know I got no chance, right? I don't live with you every day. I live with me every day. I know I'm not going to heaven without grace. You know, maybe you can do it. I can't get there. And I think the Bible makes it clear that none of us can. I know the Bible makes it clear that none of us can. But great things often drive us to God, and dependencies drive us to God. But there are certain things that we need to do to get where God is calling us, and God is calling us to take some small steps to become who he's called us to be. It's preparation. It's inspiration versus implementation. It's us trying to use God for just a little bit of motivation, a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of just kind of fire me up and get me there, but rarely to progress to the point of actually putting into practice what God has called us to do. That God doesn't always just, now God can do whatever he wants. If he just wanted to flood those valleys and go for it. And honestly, there's some argument in the translations of how this actually went down. But God said, I'm going to do this. And in our translation, we see the call to, all right, let's get to work. Let's do some things that we're called to do. But miracles aren't magic tricks. Faith isn't a lottery ticket. And faith is a work order. Faith is a work order. You go to work, I don't know, do you guys get work orders where you work? Maybe you show up on Monday morning and the supervisor gives you, all right, here's what you're doing today. Here's where you're going. Here's all the wells you're going to visit. Here's all the patients that you're going to tend to today. It's a work order. When I was a teenager and I worked at the grocery store, we had a little clipboard at the end of one of the registers, and it had a list of tasks that we were supposed to do while we were there, and the boss would mark down who did what, and once we accomplished that task, we marked it off, and we've therefore making the supervisor happy, therefore completing what we were called to do, therefore getting paid to be there for 5 hours and taking care of the customer. But sometimes we have this faith and we're like, all right, I got faith, so now I'm going to get all this prosperity. I'm going to get all these wonderful things. I'm going to get health and wealth and a beautiful spouse, right? I got it all. The trifecta, right? A beautiful house and a beautiful spouse. Everything that I need because I've got faith. But faith isn't a lottery ticket. Faith is a calling and faith is a work order. But transformation happens through participation in the purpose of God. And the king came to Elisha looking for a miracle. Hey, we're in a pinch, buddy. You talk to God. Let's figure this out. Come on. You talk to God. Ask God to just kind of wave his magic wand and fix the situation. Because I know if he doesn't wave his magic wand, I'm going to probably die of thirst. If the Moabites don't come in and take me out before that happens. We need God to come in and provide a miracle. But Elisha, in his in his communication with God and his speaking for God. God didn't, Elisha didn't give them a miracle. He didn't grant them an instant fix. He granted them a work order. He granted them a set of instructions. He said, all right, let's dig some ditches. Let's get ready. Let's knock down some trees. Let's cultivate these fields. Let's clear cut these orchards. Let's get out the saws. Let's put on our work boots and put on our gloves. Let's go get some fuel. We're going to run these chainsaws. Let's get to work. Let's dig some ditches. Because I can tell you, in the morning, God is going to come through. But until morning comes, there's some work to do. Because in the morning, God is going to flood this valley. And there had better be somewhere for that water to go. Let's dig some ditches. Everybody wants a calling until it calls. Everyone wants a calling until it calls. You understand that? Are you willing to play your part in the greater calling that God has for your life? We all want the miracle, right? We all want the fame. We all want the paycheck. We all want the accolades. We all want the healing. We all want the wealth. We want the comfort. We want the beautiful house and the beautiful spouse. We all want it. We all want the calling, but the calling takes work. I'd love to have Mother Teresa's legacy, but would you want Mother Teresa's life? Would you want her life? Would you want the sacrifice that she made? Would you want what she gave up, the wealth that she gave up to walk into the streets of Calcutta and serve God? Would you want that? You want the legacy, but do you want the work? The calling is to dig a ditch and trust that God is going to bless you. That God is going to bless you. Do you have enough faith in God to start digging a ditch even if you can't see the rain and you can't hear the wind? Because that was part of what Elisha shared in that prophecy when he was talking to King Jehoshaphat and the others. You're not going to hear the rain. You're not going to hear the wind. You don't have any idea, but I'm telling you, if you dig the ditch, if you put in the work, God's going to bless you. God's going to help you. God's going to get you out of this. Are you willing? Do you have enough faith to dig the ditch even if you can't see the rain or hear the wind? Faith is making preparation for something that you can't quite perceive yet. We can only assume that everyone in the valley dug all night. Not likely even finishing the system, but the next morning the water flowed. So no matter how much faith it takes on our part, it'll be an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. Our text said that. God can do it. It will be easy for God. It will be easy for God to send the waters. But he wants you to get to work. He wants you to dig the ditch. If you dig the ditch, God will bring the rain. If you put in the work, God will bring the blessing. You ever hear of an overnight success? Ain't no such thing as an overnight success. There's years and years of hard work when nobody's watching. And then next thing you know, it takes off. Next thing you know, it's awesome. What ditches is God calling you to dig? What do you need to do to prepare for the calling that God has for you? Are you available? Are you willing to dig? Are you willing to do the work to become everything you're called to do? He's not waiting for you to be able. He's waiting for you to have the faith to get started and take some small steps. Maybe this could be the summer, not the summer of mediocrity, maybe not the summer of good enough, maybe not the summer of rest, maybe not the summer of, well, can I have a 3-month vacation? But maybe this could be the summer digging ditches. This could be the summer of praying for what God is leading to you and asking God what you need to do to be ready when the waters flow. you don't control the miracle. That's one of my favorite quotes in the whole world. The first time I ever heard this was John Acuff said this. He said, you don't control the miracle. You do the work. God controls the miracle. The success of your business, you do the work. God controls the miracle. The success of your marriage, you do the work. You be who you're called to be. God will do the miracle. You want to fix your marriage? Do the work. Surrender it to God. He'll do the miracle. What's gardening look? Is it kind of gardening? Things are kind of starting to come up really well. I got a garden in my yard. We got an old garden with a guy that used to live there had a garden. And I can tell you, since he moved out, there has not been a single seed put in that ground. Not one. But I walk out there every day and I just look at it like, where are those tomatoes? Now, I didn't do the work of planting the seed and asking God to grow it. You're stressing over who to marry and you're trying to date? How about put down the Xbox controller and go be the person that you're called to be, and then God will send you the person that you're supposed to be with? Rather than just like, I'm an idiot, I'm doing all kinds of crazy things, and I promise you, God is going to send me a perfect Christian person to be with. No, God's going to send her the person that is doing the work. We go to school to study and to learn so we can do the work. Business isn't glamorous behind the scenes. We go to church and we study and we pray. And so for me in preaching, I study and I pray and I trust and wait for God to open doors and say, is this what you're calling me to do? But I don't just wake up and say, okay, here we go. No, there were steps involved. There's steps involved for you to get to where you're at today. There's steps involved today, small steps to get to where you're going. It's amazing. We got to do the work and God will send the rain. And this is one of those places in the Bible, ask Franklin Graham, where rain is a blessing. The water is a blessing. So what ditches is God calling you to dig? What ditches is he calling you to dig? What do you need to prepare for? What are the small steps you need to take? Because you don't control the miracle. But you control how ready you are for the miracle. And how ready you get for the miracle could very well control how much miracle God gives you. It's a nasty twist. Is anything you want to talk about, pray about? The altars are open. We're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. And I pray, ask that you will pray for what God is leading you to, he's calling you to, preparing for you. If you still got some plows to burn from last week, let's burn some plows. Or if you want to dig some ditches and talk about the small steps that you need to take to become the person God's called you to be, come on up and let's pray. And then after we sing, the Guatemala team is going to come up and we're going to pray together and send them off with the Lord. So let's stand and sing. Won't you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that you will open our minds and our hearts to the calling that you've put on our life. Because each person here has a calling on their life, and the first calling is to repentance, the second calling is to baptism, and after that, to an obedient life of faith. And that's when things break wide open and some incredible things can happen. It doesn't mean everyone's a preacher or everyone's a soloist or everyone's an evangelist or a missionary or the next Mother Teresa. What it means is that you have an individual, unique calling for each of us, and you want to give it to us. So Lord, I pray that you'll show it to us, open our hearts to it, and teach us to see the small steps that we need to take to dig the ditches of preparation for your blessing. We pray all these in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.